Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
All right, Connie, I'm not hearing you. I know we're live on the air right now, and really excited to have the show In the Arms of the Angels with Connie McNeil on every Tuesday. I should say one Tuesday a month. To find out more about the show or other shows, you can go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Dr. Connie, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like for some people, like Star and everything, as soon as their recorded message plays, they just go right in, and then I forget for some people like yourself that I actually do a little intro first.
Well, and I wasn't sure. You had said that there was a gap, and I couldn't remember where the gap was, so I thought maybe we were in the gap, so I was just waiting. I knew you'd come back somewhere.
Okay, go ahead. You're all set. You're live.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Martin. Good evening, everyone. I would like to start with a prayer. So if those of you that are able to focus your attention on just sitting still for a moment and taking a deep breath, then join with me, please. Archangels Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel, I call upon you now with Lord Jesus and Metatron above us and Mother Gaia below, that you would encircle us in your love, encircle us in your light, and that we will feel it flowing through all of us. Mother Gaia, I pray that you would ground our feet with roots deep enough and wide enough that is sufficient for this time that we are together, so that we can stay grounded and we can stay focused, and that you would soar our spirits into the heavens, so that what is said here and what is done here is for our highest good and the highest good of others, and that everything else be gone. Thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about living a life of excellence. And this is something that the angels kind of showed me in a unique way. I was at my daughter's high school graduation not too long ago, and I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm looking through the program, and it's got 300-400 names of high school seniors, and some of the seniors' names have little marks by them, asterisks and little stars and whatnot, and they denoted scholarships or some sort of honor society or some sort of grade point average, whatever. They were honoring these students for excellent scholastic performance. And, you know, I thought that was very cool and was very proud of them. And then I got to thinking about all of the other students who did not have a denotation of something, an asterisk or a star or whatever, by their name. And I was wondering what was missing that each of these students had at some point reached a point of excellence at something, but that these students weren't being honored. And I thought how cool it would have been had, when every student walked by, they would have said, if it wasn't some sort of honor society or scholarship or whatever, they would have said, you know, Mary Jane, listen to a friend. John Smith forgave someone who hurt his feelings. You know, somebody else helped get their younger brothers and sisters ready for school. Things that were not highlighted in the program, but nonetheless were aspects of living a life of excellence. And I want to give you an example with my own daughter. she transferred to New York for her senior year. Now, New York is one of the few states that has what they call regent exams, and these are like competency exams in five core areas. And you must pass these five tests in order to graduate. And usually these tests are spread out from your freshman year to your senior year, so you're not having to take all the exams in one year. And the state of New York has their criteria for, you know, what high school people need to graduate. So in comes Savannah for her senior year. She has not taken any regents. She has not taken in the state where she was at, that she was not she had not taken some of the courses that she was going to need to fulfill what the state of New York wanted for their graduates. So while most of the other graduates were taking maybe one or two regents, and at the most had maybe three or four classes they had to take their senior year, Savannah had to take all five regents. Instead of three or four classes, she took eight classes. And in February, I lost my oldest daughter to a fatal heart attack. And so Savannah lost her sister. So in a nine-month period, she had to take all her exams, pass all of her classes, and grieve the loss of her sister. And this child graduated with her class on time. Now, she did not have one of those little marks by her name. But this young woman achieved excellence in what's in her performance for her senior year. So I started asking the angels, and they gave me some ideas of what it would be like to live a life of excellence. So in the time that we have, I want to share some of these with you. At the 8:30 hour, or at the half hour of this show at 8:30, I will be taking phone calls for free angel card readings. So if anyone is wanting that, then if you can call 646-716-9663, that's 646-716-9663. If you'll call that number closer to the half-hour mark at 8:30, then Mark will chat with you and get you lined up for a free angel card reading. Okay, having said all that, living a life of excellence. I have 10. I don't know if I'll get through all of them. None of them are in particular order of importance except the first two. So in order to live a life of excellence, the first one is believing in something bigger than yourself. Now, for most of us, that's going to be God, also spirit, higher power, universe, whatever you want to call this power that's out there. And believing in a God that's bigger than you. And that is, this is a God that you would trust in. This is a God that you know has your back. This is a God that knows that you know intimately and that you were created to be in service to the God of the universe. And by trusting, because we all pray to our God. And what most of us do is we remind God repeatedly what we prayed for. So if I want a new job, you know, I pray every day, every night, several times during the day, you know, constantly reminding what God is going to forget that I want this job. As opposed to just praying and having faith that God is going to deliver the right job at the right time for the right amount of pay that is for our highest good and the highest good of others. So believing in God as the ultimate source of everything And the way that we approach God is, please give me what I want so that it fills my highest good and the highest good of others involved. And then you just leave it up to God to do that as you will, you know, as God wills. The second one is believing in yourself, that you're bigger, stronger, and capable to handle what's been given to you. A lot of us feel like that we're not living the right life, or somehow God is angry with us if we have problems in our lives. What did we do wrong? Why did God abandon me? You know, why does it have to be this way? Why me? This shouldn't be this way. But we were, if you look at the bigger picture, the problems that I work through in my own life not only creates freedom within me, but it creates freedom within the energy of the whole world. So if I want to raise the vibrational level of the world, then it's imperative that I work through my problems and know that a lot of what is given to me, remember that what we were asking for is for my highest good. If my highest good and the highest good of others is to struggle with a particular problem, then working through that problem raises my vibrational level and the vibrational level of the whole world. So it's not that God abandoned us. God is giving to us that which we came into this world to do. And one of the things we came in to do is to raise the vibrational level, to bring love, to bring healing, to bring peace to the world. And again, we do that by the way that we resolve our own issues, or by the way that we cope with the issues that are given us, even if we don't resolve them, even if I have a debilitating disease, or even if I have some sort of we've all read stories about people in poverty-stricken countries. Each of us find our God, and each of us works to accept what we have, come to peace with what we have, move toward being better than what we are. It raises the vibrational level and helps save the planet, which is one of the vital reasons why we are here on this earth. Life is supposed to be messy. Life is supposed to be a learning experience. If you're coming and everything is hunky-dory and life is perfect and you have no problems and you have no challenges and you have no ripples in your pond, then I double-check and make sure that you're not living below the standard of what you could do and what you could be. God sent us all here for something. We all have a why and a reason and a purpose for being here, or we wouldn't be here. And part of that is facing the challenges that life handles us. And the more we trust in God to help us handle that, then the easier it is to get through the issues that we have. But believing in yourself that you're big enough, strong enough, and capable enough, and that you can trust you can trust your intuition, and you can trust that gut feeling, and you can trust that sense of knowing that you have, which is what I always believe is God talking to us. So living a life of excellence is believing in God, believing in yourself. And the rest of the ones that I'm going to say now in the time that we have is, these are not in order of priority. So another way to live a life of excellence is to be your word. Do what you say you're going to do. If you are in a company position and you told a client that you would call them back by the end of the day, you call them back by the end of the day. Even if you don't have any information, you still call them back. Just to say, I told you that I'd call you back. I'm keeping my word. I'm calling you back. I don't have any information, but I wanted to let you know that I hadn't forgotten you. If I say I'm going to do something, then I need to do it. I need to commit to my word, and I need to be my word. And I do not use the word and take this word out of your vocabulary. Rip it up into little shreds of pieces and feed them to the birds. Take the word try out of your vocabulary. I'm not going to try to call you back. I'm not going to try to get this report done. I'm going to, that because that gives me an out. That doesn't hold me responsible for what I said I would do. It's weakening my word. If I say, well, you know, I'll try to get back to you by the end of the day. No, I will get back to you by the end of the day. I will, you know, leave a voicemail, I'll give you a text, I'll give you a something. But if I said I'll do something, then I'm going to do it. That's the way that you build trust with other people. That is the way that you build relationships with other people. It makes me be responsible for what I say I'm going to do. So if I am not sure that I am going to be able to do something, then at the very beginning I will say, I'm not sure I'm going to do this, but I know that I can do this much. I don't know if I can give you an answer to everything, but I can give you a call and let you know where I'm at. So take the word try out of your vocabulary. Think before you say. Don't let your desire to please other people push you into a yes or no response without thinking clearly what it is that you want to say and who it is, how you want to present yourself, because you are presenting the God that was in you. You are not a human having a spiritual experience. You are a spirit having a human experience. And when I am my word, I enhance spirit that is within me. I call in my angels. I call in my angels all the time. Help me know what to say. Help me say it the way you want me to say it. Help me present myself the way that I can be my word and be responsible. If you can show up as being trustworthy, then people will look at you with respect and you can carry yourself with dignity. And people will know that when you say you're going to do something, then you're going to do it. So be your word. Another way of living a life of excellence is to be on time. I tell Savannah when she goes out and I give her a time to be home, and I say, and remember, if it's 11 o'clock, I'll just use that as an example. If she used to be home at 11 o'clock, and I say, remember, if you walk in the door at 11 o'clock, you're late. Being on time is actually late. Being on time shows respect for other people. Being on time prepares me if I go someplace and I'm early, it prepares me for the thing that I came there to do, the event. So I have time to calm down, I have time to breathe, I have time to reflect, I have time to call in my angels, I have time to relax. Imagine what it would be like if you drove down the road and people were not cutting you off because they left early enough to be on time. People were not speeding because they don't have to rush to get somewhere. You're not trying to get, 50 people in an elevator that only holds 40 because everybody's running late to get to the office. So being on time, let some of this life of excellence start with you. Being your word. If nobody else is their word, you be your word. If nobody else is early, you be early. Leave and give yourself enough time to get somewhere so that you can get parked and get in and get ready for your day without, having to run in at the last minute. Another way to live a life of excellence is to be your personal best. Like a lot of these seniors I was talking about that did extraordinary things their senior year. They studied hours for an exam. They helped brothers and sisters get ready for school. They cleaned up after sick parents. They are living in an abusive environment and they protect their younger brothers and sisters. They go to work. They are on time for classes. They hold the door open. Being your personal best, they had the parade for the women's soccer team here in Manhattan, and they had a ticker tape parade. You may not get a ticker tape parade. You may not get on TV. You may not get a medal. You may not have your 15 seconds of fame. Nobody may ever know the work that you put in. Nobody may ever see what you do. But the reason that it is important to do your personal best is because it builds the God self in you. It is your spirit. It is your God self that comes out to do the beautiful work that you are doing at that time. And it sets your mind for miracles. If I slop through something, if I rush through something, if I am less than my best at something, it does not set me up to create the things that I want to create. Even God, with all of his power, could have snapped his fingers and created everything in a nanosecond. The Bible says that it took 6 days to create the world. And I think it's because God did his personal best when he created each of the things that he created on those different days. And sometimes it takes time to make sure that we scrub those corners or make sure that we fix the report to the best of our ability, that we make sure that we are in a mindset that we are being the very best that we can be. I used to teach graduate students, and I had them do at least one paper every semester, and I could not believe that a lot of these people I know never even read the reports. There were misspelled words. There were words used incorrectly. There were sentences that stopped in the middle of a sentence. It wasn't even a complete sentence. And just because they thought they could turn something in, that it was quality work or that it fulfilled the assignment. But the the spirit of the assignment was doing quality work. Everything that you do should be quality work because it sets you up. It sets your God self up. It sets your creation up. We were born and sent here to create. We are co-creators with the universe. If I am doing my personal best, I am creating a area around me that is my personal best. If I am slopping through, cutting corners, waiting till the last minute, slapping something together, then that's what I'm going to create in my life space. So I can't encourage you enough to take that step and take it one step further and make sure that what you do is the excellence that what you want to create. And that will also help you to be on time and to be your word. It will help you to start believing in yourself, to believe in yourself more, to create that which you want. One more before we have the go to the half hour is believe in the impossible. Believe in the impossible even if you have to go through the mundane to get there. There's too many of us that sit on the sideline and wait for the miracles. We, wait for the rain showers to pour down, the abundance that we ask for. We wait for the perfect person to walk through the door, the perfect job to land at our feet. The impossible miracles do happen. They happen every day. They happen all the time. A lot of the, and when we pray and when we put out what it is that we want, we are in many, many ways, in many cases, asking for miracles, asking for the universe to do that which we can't do ourselves, asking for people, places, and things to come into our life to help us to get to that, help us to reach the abundance or reach that thing that we want. But a lot of times we have to walk through the mundane to get there. So I set my dreams up, and I start taking the baby steps to get there. So my dream, I had a dream to get my PhD. So that was my goal. That was my bigger dream than I ever thought it would ever happen. And then I just took the little mundane steps. I took the classes, and I took statistics that I hated. And I took, other classes that I did enjoy, and I did the papers, and I just did the thing one step at a time until I got there. So if you want the job, if you want the business, if you want the guy, if you want the girl, if you want the health, if you want the whatever, you put it out there. You give it to God. You say, whatever is for my highest good and the highest good of others. And then you start taking one mundane step after another until you find that all of a sudden the impossible is beginning to happen. So that's a few ways of living a life of excellence, and I'm going to see if Mark is available.
Yep.
Alrighty, you're on.
Alright, very cool. So for everybody that's tuning in now, I'd like to let you know that if you'd like to get a reading or ask some questions, you can call in to 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. You are listening to In the Arms of the Angels on Spiritual Connections Radio. Dr. Connie McNeil is on this evening. She's on one Tuesday every month. And to find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. To find out more about the work that Dr. Connie does, make sure to check out her website at Dr. Connie Says, that's SAYS.com. And if you're in the Scarsdale, New York area, you can sit down with Dr. Connie face-to-face at 130 Brook Street in Scarsdale, New York. The information for that and her hours and how to set up an appointment for a face-to-face reading or coaching or whatever it is that you're looking for is on the Spiritual Connections website. It's also on her website as far as the venue that she's working out of right now, Monday, Thursday, and Fridays from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And with that, back to you, Dr. Connie.
Okay, one more quick question, Mark. So the next show is going to be next Tuesday?
Let me just double check the schedule. Hold on for 1 second. And we're going to be looking at the month of August.
Yeah, because generally the first Monday.
Generally it usually falls into that. But I think for August, I have you scheduled for August 25th, so at the end of the month again.
Oh, okay. So, okay, folks, thank you for being flexible, as I am being flexible. So the next show that I will have will be August the 25th. So I just wanted to clarify that for you and everybody else. So let me continue with my list of living a life of excellence. And I did, before the show start, ask the angels for those people to call in that it would be in their highest good and the highest good of others to call in and to get a reading. So if you're feeling like that would be something that you would like to do, if you're feeling impressed to do that, then there would be a reason for you to do that. So please don't hesitate to call. Okay, so I was talking about believing in the impossible, even if you have to go through the mundane to get there. It sort of dovetailed into the next step of having an excellent life, which is to dream big. If you look at the world, you know that God is a creator of big things. The forests, the oceans, the expanse, the beauty, the texture, the colors, the difference, the birds that fly, and the sea creatures, and all of the variants and differences that we can, because we are spirit, can dream as big, and we hold ourselves back and we hold ourselves small because we think it's too big, or we don't have a right to ask, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not something enough. But it's finding that thing that makes your heart sing. It's finding that thing that you know in your heart that you just have to do. It's finding that cause that won't let go of you. It's finding those areas that nobody else will do it and you feel like you need to do it. It's finding that. And it's calling on God and the angels. On my website, I have the prayer that I began this session with, this radio show with. I would highly encourage you to go on my website. It's called A Circle of Light and Love. It was given to the woman who owns, I work at Trap Rock Suites in Scarsdale 3 nights a week. And it was given by Archangel Metatron to Suzanne Whittle, who is the owner. And it's only given out at the store and on my website. You can't Google it. You can't get it anywhere else. So I would highly encourage you to go on that website, to get that prayer, to write it down so that you are in a bubble of angels from surrounding you on all sides, from above you, and that Mother Gaia is grounding you so that when you dream your dreams, you're already in the arms of the angels as you ask for that thing that is so important for you. And then you envision, just take maybe, once you say your dream and you're very specific, you give it to God. Then every morning for 5 minutes, just be in the dream. Smell it, live it, touch it, feel it. Just let it be, it completely envelop you. Just be in the dream. Then give it back to God and go about your day. Don't worry about, you don't even maybe need to think about it. Just go about and do whatever it is you do at your personal best. And then let the universe figure out how, in your highest good and in the highest good of others, how it's going to manifest this dream for you. It gets you out of victim. It gets you out of the, oh, this is too impossible. It lets you create that thing that you were brought here to create. Another way to live a excellent life, a life of excellence, is to focus out. To get out of your own, to get out of your own way. To get out of your own problems and your own worry. And focus on other people. Focus on other things. Focus on how to make somebody else's life better. How to make it easier for somebody else. How to help the planet. How to be an angel to somebody else. And you can do this through prayer. You can give money. You can donate food. You can be a listening ear. You can babysit. I heard of a story one time where this family had a sudden death in the family, and they were scurrying around. As I recall, there were several children in this family, several sizes and several kids. So the mom was busy getting clothes ready and, dresses and ironing and getting everybody ready. And she completely, and people had been coming in and out of the house all day, bringing food and doing whatever. And this nice quiet man came in and, other people came in. So she got everybody started to get ready. And then she remembered that she had totally forgotten about the shoes. None of the shoes had been shined. She didn't know what she was going to do because here everybody was dressed and now the shoes were going to look very bad. She started looking around and she noticed that all of the shoes had been pulled out of the closet. Not just the shoes for the funeral, but all of the shoes in the house had been pulled out and they'd been shined. And it was this quiet man who didn't really say much. He just came in and he quietly shined everybody's shoes. And then he left. It's focusing out and doing something like that. If you feel impressed, if you're in the Starbucks line to buy somebody a cup of coffee, buy them a cup of coffee. If you feel impressed to, give somebody an extra big tip, give them a big tip. Hold the door open for somebody. Smile at somebody. Help somebody out at work. Focus out on helping somebody else have a blessed day. Shine somebody's shoes. Do something for somebody, and I guarantee you any problem that you have is going to look smaller. You will walk away feeling more blessed than the people that you were able to give to in whatever way that you did. So, if you're so worried about yourself and your problem and how anything and everything is going to get done, if you will focus out, I guarantee you, you will feel better. Two more things to have a living a life of excellence is decide to be happy. Just decide that you're going to have an attitude of being grateful, that you're going to have an attitude of contentment. Happiness in so many ways is a choice. I can choose to be in a bad mood, or I can choose to not be. And it doesn't matter my circumstances. There are people that are, you know, richer than rich, that have everything in the world and are miserable. There are people that don't have a dime and they are just are blissful. It doesn't matter your circumstances. There are people that are physically sick that are much happier than people that are totally healthy. It doesn't matter your circumstances. It matters how you want to look at what life has given you. I'm blessed. I have my God and my angels. I have the things that I do have. I'm alive. I'm breathing. Whatever it is that you have, if you will be content with that, and you know that you hold the key to your happiness, and if I'm not happy, it's because I've given my power away to that circumstance or that person or that event that somehow seems like it's bigger than I am. By deciding to be happy, I take my power back. By deciding to be happy, I am not a victim. By deciding to be happy, I am calming myself down so that I can make decisions out of a calm mind as opposed to being anxious and scared and having a knee-jerk reaction. And lastly, living a life of excellence means that I meditate, I pray, I quiet myself, I listen, I be still, I stop doing, I walk slower, I talk slower, I take time to look at the person that I'm talking to or look at the thing that I'm, whatever it is I'm looking at, but I look at it, that I see it. I take time to breathe. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. In the silence, you will find me. And what I am saying, that in the silence, you will also find you. You will find your strength. You will find your power. You will find your purpose. You will find your beingness in the silence. So this is not an all-inclusive list. There are certainly many other ways to live a life of excellence. And as you pray and as you meditate, then God will provide for you information on how to live the life that is going to make it an excellent life for you. So what I'm going to do in the next few minutes here is I'm going to do a reading for this month coming up. And I just want to ask Michael to give us some insights and guidance in the month coming up. So, Archangels Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel, call upon you now, with Lord Jesus and Metatron above me, and Mother Gaia below. Pray that you would ground my feet into the earth as I do this reading for the highest good of everyone involved, and that you will share with us what it is that we need to hear, and everything else be gone. Thank you. Alrighty, so let me see what Michael has to say. So this would be for the rest of July and going through the end of August. So What Michael wants us to know is, okay, the first thing that Michael wants us to know is to be more in prayer, to be more mindful of the angels and to call them in. You can't pray enough. You can't call the angels in enough. You don't bother them. You don't annoy them. You don't, they don't, you know, shake their head and go, oh, really, you again. They don't do any of that. They are anxiously waiting. And many of us don't call on the angels enough. So what Michael is saying is to the situations that you are finding yourself in, to pray a lot and ask for guidance and ask for wisdom in handling the situations that you are in. You don't have to rush to make a decision about the situations that you find yourself in. There is time. The thing that you are praying for, the thing that is yours by divine right, the thing that is for your highest good and the highest good of others is not going to go away. You don't have to rush. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. The urge to stop, then stop. If it doesn't sound right to you, then it's probably not right. So take a breath. Take your time. Call on the angels. Again, I'm going to invite you. Dr. Connie says, at drconniesays.com, if you'll go on that website, it's free. You can pull down this prayer, and you will start to feel the presence of the angels around you as you ask for guidance and wisdom and ask when is the right time to have, you know, to make whatever decision that you would have to make. For those of you looking for a job or a home or a mate, a good way to approach prayer and decision-making is to thank God. And I'll just use home, for example. So you thank God that the right home, Christ, will open at the right time. And you can do that for a job, the right job in the right place, for the right salary, at the right time, the right man or woman, at the right place, at the right time, is going to open up. And that way it leaves a lot of the forcing a decision. It's not even an option now, because the universe will open up at the right time, in the right way, the things that we want. So Michael wants us to quit being so anxious and to quit trying to carry everything ourselves and to know that the angels have got our backs. That when you pray, your inner guidance, that gut feeling, that little small voice, that thing that won't leave you alone, is true and it's accurate, that you can believe it and you can trust it. So when you are in prayer and when you are relaxed and you're not feeling pressured to make a decision, that you know that the right thing is going to happen at the right time, then you can stop and you can breathe and you can listen to that still small voice, or it may be songs and a lyric, or it could be a poem or a random conversation. It could come in a lot of different ways. But that And when you hear it, there will be something that resonates inside your spirit, if it's a conversation or a song or something that is outside. When you hear it, it's something that will really come home to you, and you'll feel it. You'll physically feel it. That's your inner guidance. That's the angel's way of saying, do this or don't do that. Turn left, turn right, or just stand still. And lastly, what Michael would have us do for the end of July and into August is to go outside and enjoy the nature. The fairies live among the gardens and the flowers and the grass, and they love to be included in our life. And they also offer guidance, and they give peace, and they're very playful. So go outside, breathe the air, look at your surroundings, thank the universe for allowing you to be there. I know people in nursing homes that have not been outside of the building in years. They don't go outside. Well, maybe twice a year, maybe, for a few minutes. People in prison, they get 1 hour a day sometimes out of their cell, a few minutes outside. If you're outside and you're free indeed. Thank God for what you have. Get outside, breathe the air. Excuse me. Let the universe tumble itself down on you and just be open to receive it. Because Michael says that he loves us, that he's there and he's guarding and protecting us. So with that, Mark, if you're around, I think I am done. I have...
Okay, we have a couple of callers, so let me go ahead and bring.
I did not know that. All right, bring it on.
Let me bring on Julie first.
Julie, hi. How
Julie.
Are you?
Hi, Connie. It's Julia.
Hi, Julia. How are you? How can we be of service to you this evening?
Well, I was just wondering if you could do a general angel card reading.
All right.
Or do you need a? Beautiful.
No, I can. No, the angels don't need a question. They already kind of know what you need. So,
I love that.
Alrighty. So, what Michael has for you is okay. He wants you to know that is there some sort of a anything going on where you're kind of feeling bad about yourself or guilty or that maybe you've done something wrong?
Oh, I don't think about guilty or bad about myself yet. I feel like I'm struggling to get into the flow, if that makes sense.
Okay, all right. So what Michael wants you to know is that you are guarded and protected. So I'm not sure exactly what going into the flow means, and you know when you're on radio, so you don't have to say anything. But you can be yourself, and you can go into the flow however you want to go into it, and there's no wrong way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's encouraging you. Michael's encouraging you to explore your options, so that you don't feel like there's only one or two ways that you. Can be, you can get into this thing, whatever the flow is. And that you're going to be, however you do it, Michael is going to be surrounding you so that he'll be protecting you as you approach. And it's possible that as you go into the flow, you might be finding or things may be coming up for you that may cause you to second guess yourself. But Michael wants you just to push through those and just do what you feel like you need to do.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Somewhat, yeah.
I'm just trying to be generic because I know you didn't want to say much and I want to honor that, so.
Well, no, just getting into the flow more of career-wise, I love what I do. I'm wanting to do more of it, and I feel like there's a lot of other disruptions where I'm just not able to fully get back into the things that I love to do. You know, it's just like
okay.
kind of like, yeah.
Okay. So Michael wants you to be gentle. Don't try to push and shove and force the situation so that you don't trip over the rocks that are in the way between you and what it is you want to do, and that you give your desire over to God and the angels.
Yeah.
To do more of what it is you want to do.
Okay.
So be gentle with yourself. You're going to be guarded and protected. There's multiple ways that you can approach it. And just be yourself when you do it.
Okay. Okay.
All set?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you, Julia. All right. Okay. Trish, you're on the air with Dr. Connie.
Hi, Dr. Connie.
Hi, Trish. How are you?
Just like a general reading.
Okay. For some reason, I see question marks around you. Michael holds you in absolute innocence. You have whatever you may have ever done in your life that is, if it's caused you to question your association with the angels, or are you good enough, or, you know, did you blow an opportunity, that the angels see you in the perfect creation that you are, so that there's really no wrong that you can do, and to have confidence as you move forward. I still get the feeling that there's question marks in that there's some indecision in which in some directions to go. And as you move forward, that you know that you're moving in the direction that the angels want you to go. And that you can go with the confidence of how loved you are, and that you can just be open and honest with yourself as you and with others as you do it. Does that make sense?
Some of it does make sense. I do have some indecisions coming up around work and housing.
Okay. Okay, be confident as you make whatever changes or do whatever it is that you want to do. Whatever you do, you need to hold yourself in of only choosing and taking what it is you want, so that you don't compromise. So as you're moving forward, you can move with confidence. You can move in the way that you really want to go, so that you know it's for your highest good. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because God's got your back, and you're going to be protected as you go. So that's what Michael would. I think the biggest card for anything that I pulled for you right now is just to not compromise, just be really respecting what it is you want and what it is you want to create and how you want to create it, and then go forward in that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Best of luck. You're very welcome, Trish. Best of luck to you. God bless you.
Thanks.
All right, I think we're all set, and if you give me the go-ahead, I'm going to go ahead and just announce the final announcements to shut down the show.
Okay,
all right, everybody, you've been listening to In the Arms of the Angels with Dr. Connie. She's on once a month, and we'll be coming up on the last Tuesday in August, which is August 25th. And to find out more about her site, her readings that she does and her other services, you can go to her website, which is drconniesays.com. And also, if you missed any links and we're looking for any of it, you can get off of our main website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I will say goodnight, Dr. Connie.
All right. Good night, Mark. Good night, everyone. Thank you.